Welcome to YourBostonSports.com. I'm Rob Goodwin. Today is June 19th, 2025. I have a special guest tonight. He is a Yankees fan, although, as I say, he's atypical. And he's been a guest on the show, I think, two times before. Welcome to my good friend, Mike Baker. How are you tonight?
Good, Rob. Glad to be here. How are you?
I'm doing good. So we have a lot of things to talk about, I think, Red Sox, Yankees. And the first thing I wanted to kind of ask you about was in the tradition of Tiant, Boggs, Damon, Euclid, and one more who we'll mention in a minute, there have been a lot of former Red Sox who have played for the Yankees. But this year in particular, there are several former Yankees that are on the Red Sox and playing pretty big roles. Whitlock was a Rule 5 pick a couple years ago. Weissert came over in the Verdugo trade. He's the other one I was going to mention. Richard Fitz is, I think, in the minors for the Red Sox and or injured, but he threw a couple of good games last year. And Carlos Narvaez, the catcher, has taken over the starting catching job from Connor Wong. He was in a trade, which is kind of unusual between the two teams, for Elmer Rodriguez Cruz. So kind of want to put you on the spot for a second. Did you see any of these players playing roles like this, especially Narvaez?
Actually, no. Whitlock had Tommy John surgery a few years ago, and I think he... So I saw a bit of him, but I'm not surprised. Generally, when you have a lot of guys, someone has to be left unprotected, and he was left unprotected, and he looks like he's doing a nice job, or at least was. I think he's hurt again, if I'm not mistaken. Weissert?
You're referring to Whitlock?
Yes.
Actually, no, he's actually been pitching pretty well this year.
This year?
Okay. Yes. He was injured last year.
If somebody, I thought, had issues with their the UCL. Weissert and Fitz, I was also aware of them. Have not really seen that much of them, unfortunately, but it is nice to see them getting a shot and doing well. Narvaez, believe it or not, I'm not really surprised about him. The Yankees have been heavy with catchers recently, and his path to the big leagues was blocked. So it was either keep him down in AAA or make a move. And it's nice to see him doing well as well. Don't want to see him do too well against my team, his old team, but I'm not surprised at all.
Right. And I did hear Judge had some really nice compliments to say about Narvaez and his work ethic. And right. So that was nice to hear. And I just want to add, this is something that everyone knows, but Judge is the real deal, both on the field and off the field. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for him.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, if you were looking for a captain and a team leader and the face of a franchise, he's right out of Central Casting. And he's a genuine person. You know, that's a good thing. And if you hear young players around the league that have either played with him on the Yankees or with him in the minors, or as, you know, most of them are peers, I have yet to hear a negative thing about him. Everyone has respect and complimentary things to say. And he impacts a lot of guys, whether or not they're Yankees. He took pictures with Alex Cora on Father's Day. And so that was a nice story.
Yeah. And also, you know, he seems to interact with fans well. Yes. And actually like it.
Yes.
And actually like it.
Yeah. And he's a genuine guy, without question. Without question, not only the Yankees captain, but a true clubhouse leader, and leads by example, works very hard, and he doesn't put up with any mess. You know, he's a dead serious baseball guy, but again, he's a wonderful person. And he named his daughter Nora, which is a favorite name of mine. My granddaughter's name is Nora. So
very nice, very nice. So, I mean, as a Red Sox fan, you probably thought that, I was celebrating after they swept them last series, 2 out of 3 the previous series. But I see a theme with the Yankees that we saw with the Red Sox kind of, you know, prior to the last, you know, 2 weeks or so, where the Yankees are just making mistakes. Mm-hmm. They made a couple of really bad base running mistakes. And the Red Sox defensively looked terrible up until, I don't know, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. What do you attribute that to? Even, you know, looking even, you know, Red Sox, Yankees, and beyond them. Do you understand why? Because I am at a loss.
Tough to figure out without question. But I think the Yankees and Red Sox are kind of at a similar place where the Braves and the Mets are. The Braves are not having a good year this year, but they seem to be bad medicine for the Mets. You know, a team like the Braves, you'd think the Mets would get well, stay well, and continue to pound and, you know, knock them out of the race for good. But they've lost the first two games of that series. And the Yankees, a week and a half ago, could have really put their foot down on the Red Sox's throat and knocked them out of contention altogether and possibly even cost Cora his job. But that didn't happen. And they follow that up. You know, the 2 out of 3 in New York the week before last with a sweep last week. And so the Red Sox got well in a hurry. It seems to be that that's the case the last few years between the Yankees and the Red Sox. So it's tough to figure out. On paper, the Yankees are quote-unquote the better of the two, but they seem to bring the best in the Red Sox out. As a Red Sox fan, you're probably frustrated. You're like, well, why can't they do this against other teams? But for me, it's like, you know, it's like poison. The Red Sox seem to have the Yankees' number. And I believe the Yankees are now under 500, going back almost 10 years against the Red Sox at least. So it's been tough to figure out.
Well, actually, my question is, you know, with the Red Sox playing well, mm-hmm. playing much better in the past week or 10 days, why does it take until June 10th for that to happen? Because the defense was not good at all. I think mm-hmm. at one point they were leading the league in errors. And then on the Yankees side, just to pick on one, you'll see, you know, Volpe made that key error yesterday.
Yep.
You know, and I'm not going to go back to the World Series. Obviously, that's kind of old news. But why mm-hmm. major league players are making errors like that and you know, and the Yankees, you know, running into outs like they did against mm-hmm. the Red Sox. I don't know. I'm just very surprised. You know, it makes you want to say, don't these guys know how to play the game?
A lot of them
play their position, you know?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them are learning on the job in the major leagues, which is unheard of. I think there was a time when the average age of a rookie was 25 or 26. Now it's not uncommon to see 19 and 20-year-olds.
Right.
So, I mean, you saw in right field, Roman Anthony, his first game, let that ball get right by him. And it was the Red Sox made sure to show him doing outfield drills the next day, I believe. So these guys are learning on the job. Volpe has been sloppy recently. The Yankees, as a rule, the last few years have been sloppy and undisciplined on the bases as well as in the field. And when you play a team right now, there are probably 5 teams in the National League that are capable of winning the World Series over any American League team I can think of. And the National League just got stronger with the Devers trade. So whoever makes it to the World Series, be it the Yankees or the Tigers or whoever, they have to have their A game. They have to be playing their best baseball. You can't be missing cutoff men. You can't be wandering off bases. You can't be sloppy in the field, you know, with the gloves. So that's kind of been what they've, that's kind of been the Yankees the last couple of years. It's just, you never know. No complaints about the hitting, no complaints about the pitching, starting or relief, but in the field, you just never know when they're going to bobble ground balls, miss cutoff men. They just have not been very sharp and very disciplined. And it certainly manifested itself in the World Series. But what you saw in the last week and a half or so with the terrible base running, it's been them for the last couple of years. I'm surprised that it really took this long into the season for them to fall back into that. But, yeah, it's frustrating. And, you know, like I said, we're in a period right now where the National League is clearly the better of the two leagues, in my opinion. And, I mean, I think the Mets, Phillies, Cubs, Dodgers, and Padres come to mind as five teams which are capable of winning the World Series. And that's, unfortunately, you know, that's my perception.
And to your point, yeah. You know, when you make it deep into the playoffs and let's say the World Series, not only do you have to bring your A game, but typically teams that win it bring something different once they get into the, you know, either the League Championship Series or the World Series. They do something different, do something unexpected. They run when you don't expect them to. You know, they maybe play a little small ball when you don't expect them to.
Right.
But if you don't have your A game to start with, to start, you know, playing a different game is difficult, you know, because you got to take care of business first, right?
Right. Yep. Well, I mean, when you're in the postseason, you know, the deeper you get, you know, you can't give away outs, for one. And another thing is bases. If you miss a cutoff, man, you're allowing a guy who's got a single to get to second. And if a guy's got a double and you misplay the ball or you throw it to the wrong base, that double is now on third. So you can get away with that during a regular season. It's a long haul. You can get away with that. You might even make it through the division, you know, the wild card in the division series. But when you get to the World Series, you can't give extra bases. You can't give extra outs. You can't miss cutoff men. You can't, you know, slack out there. And it's because teams will take advantage of that. And if you have an aggressive team like the Dodgers, who were the better team last year, I'm not going to try to deny that. But the Yankees would have had to play their best baseball, probably better than they played at any time during the season, to win that series. And there's just such a thin margin for error. And you saw what happened with Ohtani. He got an extra base, and he ended up scoring the tying run. And had that play been a little bit crisper, and I won't go into detail, but that led to what happened with Freddie Freeman. So you give good teams extra outs, you give them, let them take an extra base. That base is quite often the difference between the tying or the winning run. And you just can't do that.
That's right. So, let's go to Rafael Devers. So, as I understand it, and there's been a lot of stories about what happened and what he did when he was with the Red Sox. So, I'm going to stick to what I think are the facts, and that is that as the Red Sox were close to signing Bregman before spring training, there was at least one conversation between Cora and Devers. Maybe a couple of days before. And then when they signed him, he played every rep at third base. I think Devers was kind of coming along slowly, at least defensively, maybe even I think he missed a number of games, at least at the beginning of spring training. And then they just made the change and said, you're going to be the DH, to which he said no. And then obviously he came around. And what I also heard, and I'm fairly confident about this, is that they asked him to take grounders at first base and third base in spring training, which I said during spring training, he needs to do that, because the idea of him moving over to first base, while not a foregone conclusion, was pretty plausible at some point in the next 8 years, whether it be 2 years out or whatever it is. So apparently he said no to that also. So then fast forward, Tristan Casas goes down for the season. You would have had Devers to slot in, but he wouldn't do it. And as late as, I think, 2 weeks ago, he was seen taking grounders. But he was taking grounders at shortstop. So was that a way for him to send the message about not playing either corner, but he's going to get his work in, but he's kind of sending a message? I don't know. So then the Red Sox in Kansas City, they had John Henry and Sam Kennedy go out and have a conversation with him. Breslow, we know, had a conversation with him. And I wouldn't be surprised if the conversation, at least some of them between Cora and Devers involved Breslow because they at least if you watch the ESPN documentary on the Red Sox, it seemed like Breslow and Cora are lockstep when they talk to players, you know, sending them down or you know, especially during spring training. But anyways, so here's my question. Given all that, what would the Yankees have done? Do you have like an idea of what, you know, Brian Cashman and was it Randy Levine is also part of the leadership there? And maybe maybe even Hal Steinbrenner. But what would the Yankees have done in this situation? How, would they have been more patient? Would they have handled it differently? I know this is all, you know, speculation on your part, but you know the Yankees organization pretty well. What do you think of that? How would they have done it differently?
Well, I think I mentioned that it kind of reminded me of the Aroldis Chapman situation a couple of years ago, or even I think it might have even been last year, where he was away from the team. I believe he was in Florida, and it was time to decide whether to put him on the roster. That's what it was. I think he sat out the first series because you have to submit your rosters in at a certain time, and they left him off. So that may have given him something to be upset about. And he basically kept himself off the roster and kept himself off the team, ended up having himself off the team. As far as the Devers thing goes, the optics all around right now suck, for lack of a better way to put it. I think the right thing – I don't think anyone is going to argue that Bregman is not a better glove at third than Devers. I think, you know, that goes without saying. So there's no issue, in my opinion, of the Red Sox going after him. The only thing I'd want to know is, did they have conversations? Did they keep the incumbent third baseman in the loop as to what was going on? And because as one of the senior guys, I think he's probably the longest tenured Red Sox right now, right? I mean, he's been around for 8 years, I think, 7 or 8 years. So he's very well paid, and he's the senior guy, kind of the de facto leader, if not the captain. So it would have been good for the Red Sox to keep him in the loop. And now the impression I got, and you're more plugged in up there than I am, was that they told him basically to get rid of his glove. So you're the DH. You're not going to get any time at third. They told him basically get rid of his glove. And then, Tristan Casas ruptures his patellar tendon, out for the year. Most third basemen, before they retire, if they're not DHing full-time, they are playing first base. So that seemed to be a logical move at some point, you know, like you said. But for me, the problem I have with Devers is, while he's not the captain, he may or may not have wanted that position, that leadership. You're still a very high-paid player. You're a veteran. You're the longest tenured member of the team. At least lead by example. You know, you don't have to wear a C, you know, like Jason Varitek did. But professionals lead by example. And this kind of stuff stays out of the media if it's handled correctly. Now, the Red Sox would have had this hanging over their heads the entire year, so they basically did what they had to do to salvage the season, I think, because this would have just kept getting worse and worse. You could have had someone else get hurt. I mean, what are you going to not ask him to play first base? Or what, you know, Bregman got hurt. So it looks bad all around, and that relationship just became toxic to the point where it was irreparable. And talking about young players learning on the job in the big leagues, the last thing they need is to have that kind of stuff going on in the clubhouse. So how it all went down, I'm not sure. Did the Red Sox shop Devers around, or did they target a team that was willing, you know, they thought might be willing to take on the entire contract?
Well, the word is they didn't shop him around, but there supposedly was another deal with another team, which involved the Red Sox taking on some of the remainder of the contract. And the word is, of course, I think the Boston media is going to portray this way, regardless of whether it's true or not. Mm-hmm. But John Henry said, no, he's not going to pay any of that contract.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's true or not, I really don't know. But the word is that they were not shopping him. The word mm-hmm.
That's what I heard. A couple of former GMs were kind of suspicious of the fact that the Red Sox weren't shopping him around. So, I mean, you know, how did this deal, you know, come out of nowhere conceivably? But it, all around, it's a tough one, but the Red Sox had to do what they had to do, right or wrong. If they want to salvage anything of this season, that was just, I'd rather not have someone who is a burden, who's, I hate to use the word cancer in the clubhouse, but it's just not good for the young players. I mean, it's good for me because he kills us. I'm glad he's gone, but.
Well, so will Gerrit Cole. He'll be happy next year.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing about Devers that I think we learned is that all along he said, I don't want to be a leader. So, and I think you could see that because he didn't lead by example. Because you can say, I'm not going to be a leader out front. Okay, fine. He doesn't want to speak English, even though he does speak English. Right. Okay, fine.
Yep. He's still speaking through an interpreter 8 years into his big league career.
Well, yeah, I mean, only his answers get interpreted. The questions don't get interpreted.
He understands the questions.
He understands the questions just fine. And he speaks English at times just fine, just not very often publicly.
Right. Yep.
But it's clear that not only didn't he want to be a leader, but he didn't want to be responsible for leading by example. Because to me, you know, he should have picked up a glove at first base.
Absolutely. So
what else can I do?
Yep.
You know, and if he did that, obviously he'd be playing first base for the Red Sox.
Sure.
And now that he's in San Francisco, he's willing to play anywhere.
Right.
Really? You know, that's the other thing.
Yeah. That can't sit well with the media in Boston, the Red Sox fans especially have to feel absolutely betrayed.
Media loves it.
Oh,
they absolutely get to pin this on Bresso. They get to pin it on John Henry, and he's cheap and he won't spend money, which all is probably true.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't pin the actions of a player in terms of, you know, how he's portraying himself as a teammate. You can't pin that on anybody.
Right. It's the player.
You know, Pete Rose played four or five positions.
Sure.
John Valentin with the Red Sox got his shortstop job taken away by Nomar Garcia-Parra in spring training. Mm-hmm. Okay, I can remember Valentin left the team for a couple days, came back, played third base. That's all, you know. Yeah. So would the Yankees have shipped him out?
The Yankees would not have tolerated that kind of behavior. They really wouldn't have. I mean, the one thing I will say about this team is they've had very good clubhouses. I mean, most recently it was CC Sabathia. You know, obviously you had Jeter. They've always had guys that police the clubhouse. They didn't need Joe Torre to have meetings and set down ground rules. The players took care of themselves. And there's Giancarlo Stanton is a prime example. You know, he gets a lot of heat, obviously, because he's injured a lot, but he's just a great guy, a great influence in the clubhouse. And he's not a captain, but you can call him a leader because he works very hard. He leads by example. And there's, unless I'm oblivious, I haven't seen his name in any back page, you know, mudslinging or any controversy. I mean, I think Brian Cashman came as close to having a controversy regarding Stanton last year when in the offseason they kind of insinuated that they expected him to get hurt because he has a track record of getting hurt and missing a lot of time. And, you know, fortunately, he didn't miss a lot of time last year. He was a heavy contributor to them winning the league championship. But even, you know, if he makes it clear that he's only in this for himself, He's not looking to be a leader. He doesn't care to lead by example. He doesn't care to be a mentor to the younger players. And he's Dominican. There's a lot of Dominican players, a lot of young Dominican players that have always had like mentors, you know, on their team. And being that, you know, a baseball player and Pete Rose is a prime example, you know, he once said he'd walk through hell and gasoline shorts to play baseball. I mean, give him a glove and he'll go anywhere. And I believe he won gold gloves at multiple positions too. So he was definitely the ultimate team guy. And that's all you can ask out of your guys is to be in it for the team. I mean, you're either in it or you're not. There's no in between. I mean, it's all fine and well to have a $300+ million a year contract, get 20 or 30 million or whatever it is. But there is responsibility that comes with that, you know? So I know I was early on, I was kidding. I'm like, well, if you guys don't want him, I'll take him. Well, you know what? He's not somebody who I'd want in my clubhouse now that I've seen more of this unfold. And well, there's still plenty of time to see how things pan out in San Francisco. It's a fresh start for him. Nice ballpark. He can start smacking them into McCovey Cove. But we'll see what happens when the going gets rough. And he really and truly needs to step up and, put on a first base mitt or put a glove and go play third again. We'll see. Maybe he was just at wit's end with Boston and wanted out at any cost, under whatever circumstances. So we'll see. But right, at the end of the day, I think they did what they had to do.
Right. Well, I'm disappointed that from his people, his agent, whoever, the part about being a team player, he never got the memo. That's really too bad. And of course, I said this months ago that if and when they trade him, there's more like an if. Okay, I admit it's more like an if. But if they trade him, you know he's playing first base wherever he goes. He's not playing third. He might DH, but you know that someone's going to look for him to play first base. And I think that's going to happen.
It's logical. I mean, that's where a lot of third basemen go, when they can't play third anymore. Some shortstops move to third when they can't play short anymore. You're either going to DH or you're going to play another position. And for third basemen, catchers, a lot of times it's first base. And, it's a shame. I mean, he's a talent. And, but again, it would have been tough for more than half a season having this cloud hanging over you. What else was going to happen? Who else was going to say something and what were they going to say? This wasn't going away. In fact, it was probably going to get, the fire was going to get fueled and fanned even more.
Agreed. So, well, we'll see what happens starting, tomorrow with the Red Sox in San Francisco. Interesting to see what the interactions are between Devers and his former teammates. I'm sure they'll be okay, but, we'll see.
Yep. Yeah, and it's baseball, as John Sterling used to say. It's baseball, Susan. But Tristan Campbell was sent back to AAA today. I saw he got off to a good start, and he's cooled off. He was player of the month or rookie of the month for the month of April, I believe.
Right, and they extended him too.
Yep, $60 million extension, I think. So, yep.
Well, he'll be back.
Sure he'll be back.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes all it takes is a reset, and they do have some young talent. They have some exciting young players, and they've been a bit of, kind of a bad luck just the past couple of years. I know you got some last place finishes in there, but they do. They have some exciting young players. So, but, they're right back in the race. I think they have a wild card spot right now as we speak. So maybe they should play the Yankees more often.
Yeah. Gone are the days where they play them 18 times, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like it's at least one less series and then some. I think it's, 13 times now?
Yeah. Yeah, it's less. It's less. Yeah.
If it was 18, the Yankees would win 16 of them.
Yeah. I think it was 2009 where the Red Sox won the first 7 or 8 or 8 of 9, and then the Yankees kind of cleaned their clocks after that and went on and won the World Series. But right now, the American League, it's definitely it's truly the junior circuit in my opinion these days. I mean it comes and goes, but the players, they move around so much. It's kind of hard to develop those rivalries and keep them And I mean, we'll see. If they make the playoffs, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, today, especially today, you never know what's going to happen.
You never know. Of course, the Yankees have been making the playoffs for about 35 straight years, and I think they've won one World Series in the last 25. So
that's pretty unusual. Pretty unusual.
They have a pretty impressive sustained success. You know, it's kind of unheard of. But I think 2008, 2016, and 2023 are the only 3 years in my recent memory that they haven't made the postseason. And that's going back to 1995. So 30 years. And I'm sure I've missed a year, but the last 30 years, I don't think anyone has been in the postseason as often as they've been. So,
yep. That makes sense.
But we'll see.
Well, we got a lot of games to play, and we'll see what happens. Thanks for joining me tonight, Mike Baker, on yourbostonsports.com. Appreciate it. And you can find yourbostonsports.com on all social media platforms, available wherever you get your podcasts, and at www.yourbostonsports.com. Thanks again, Mike Baker, for joining me. Have a good evening, everyone.